Hey there, Story Miners. Welcome once again to the Memoir Club, where everyday memories become unforgettable stories. So grab your favorite drink, open up that notebook, and settle in. I'm your host, Wayne Jordan, and today we're digging into a memory that just might surprise you. So let's get started. In episode one, we'll unpack why physical spaces leave such lasting impressions, and how to mine those memories even if they're fuzzy, and how your childhood home might just be the perfect starting point for your memoir. I'll share a personal story, answer a question from a listener named Linda, and wrap it all up with a writing prompt that you can start today. And hey, if you'd like to look at a transcript of this episode or want to download the printable materials, head over to memoirclub.net. So let me take you back to the house I grew up in. It was a little 800-square-foot, two-bedroom, one-bath cracker box in a little enclave of about a dozen similar houses. We moved there in 1954 when I was 4 years old and my sister was three. It was about 10 miles from the eastern border of Washington, D.C. and Maryland on a dirt road surrounded by about 100 acres of woods. Our yard was about a third of an acre, and for a while, we had a hen house and about 50 chickens in the backyard. This was suburbia, right? Over the next 13 years, my parents had three more children, and we stayed in that house. So having seven people in a two-bedroom, one-bath house was tight. There was a girl's bedroom, a boy's bedroom, and my parents slept on a sofa bed in the living room. The floors were wood, we had no rugs. With five kids spanning 10 years in age, the floors stayed cluttered despite my mother's best efforts. I learned to step over toys and clothes, never picking them up, a habit of mine that didn't get broken until the mid-1970s, when my wife trained me to pick things up. Growing up, we didn't have a telephone until 1959 or own a car until 1966. Neighbors let us use their phones when needed, and my grandmother lent us her car on weekends for shopping, errands, and laundry because we didn't have a washing machine either. The kitchen was barely big enough for Mom to cook. The table fit only two people. The house was noisy and chaotic. My refuge was my transistor radio. It was a turquoise Radio Shack model with a leather case and earbuds. I'd lie on my top bunk and absorb the music. If the weather was nice, I'd go off into the woods and wander along the creek or climb a tree and sit until dusk. I'd go to sleep listening to the rhythm of trains rolling along the tracks half a mile away or listening to the melodies of whippoorwills. It was home. It was my normal. I didn't know anything different. I never realized that I lived on the wrong side of the tracks until I went to high school and met kids who wore new clothes instead of hand-me-downs and lived in nice neighborhoods with brick houses and sidewalks. And then I began to hate my house. I hated the shabby furniture. I hated the dirt road. I hated the lack of privacy. I hated the clothes I was forced to wear. But it made me determined to do better. I hated that house for what it lacked, but I've come to respect it for what it taught me, how to move forward with grit, how to learn to appreciate what I had. Let's talk about why these places linger. Homes are more than structures. They're sensory museums. We remember places through texture and smell and sound, the click of the thermostat, the rustle of leaves outside your bedroom window, the smell of burnt toast or hairspray or freshly cut grass through an open window. Even if you can't remember the color of the walls, you might remember how it felt to come home after school. The way the light looked through the curtains in the afternoon, or the sound of your dad's keys jingling as he came home from work. So when you sit down to write about your childhood home, don't worry if the picture isn't perfect. Start with the small things. Write down what you do remember. What room did you spend the most time in? Was there a closet you were afraid of? Were you afraid of monsters under your bed? What sounds filled the house? TV in the background, siblings fighting, your mom singing while folding laundry? Use your five senses. Think of your childhood home as a stage set. You are the main character, and the audience wants to know, what was the scene? What did it look like? What did it sound like? What did it smell like? So if you're stuck, try this. Grab a pencil and draw a rough floor plan of the house. Doesn't have to be pretty or to scale. This isn't architecture school. Just label the rooms. What happened and who resided in each one? As you draw, details come back. You might remember the smell of your brother's socks in the shared bedroom, or the feel of the cold linoleum under your feet on winter mornings, or the way the kitchen light flickered for months and nobody would fix it. Memoir is all about capturing the truth of your experience, not just what happened, but how it felt. And there's no better place to start than the place that shaped you. So here's the heart of today's episode. Your childhood home isn't just a setting. It's a character in your story. It watched you grow. It held your laughter and your tantrums. It creaked under your footsteps and heard your late night whispers, even if it's gone now or changed beyond recognition. The memory of that home is still in you. It's a doorway to your earliest stories. So open that door, step inside, and see what's still waiting for you in the quiet corners of those rooms. Well, the jaunty accordion music tells me it's time for Listener's Mailbox. So let's dig in and see what we've got. This week's question comes from Linda in Asheville, who writes, "Wayne, I can remember bits and pieces of my childhood home, but a lot of the details are fuzzy. How can I write about it if I don't remember everything clearly?" Well, that's a good question, Linda, and one I hear often. First off, let's normalize this. Almost nobody remembers everything with crystal clarity. Memory isn't a photograph. It's more like a watercolor painting. Soft edges, missing spots, a little blur here and there. But that's okay. Start with what is clear. Even if it's just one thing, the pattern on the curtains, the sound of the recliner snapping back, the way your air conditioner wheezed in the summer, one detail leads to another. If you're really feeling stuck, try these. Look at old family photos, not just of the house, but of you in the house. What's in the background? Talk to a sibling or cousin. Their memories might jog your own or show you something you missed. Or think about a specific moment, a birthday, a snow day, a sick day when you stayed home. Zoom in. What room were you in? Who was there? And remember, memoir doesn't require a complete inventory of the facts. You're not testifying in court. You're shaping a personal experience, your memory. And that experience has value, even if some of it's fuzzy. If all you remember is the way the sunlight hit the kitchen floor on Saturday mornings, that's a great place to begin. So thanks, Linda. Keep it going. You're doing it right. Let's wrap up with the prompt of the week I promised. This week, I want you to write about your childhood home. Here's the prompt. Describe your childhood home in detail. What did it look like? What did it smell like? What were the sounds, the routines, the corners where stories happened? To help you dig a little deeper, here are some bonus questions to explore. Was there a specific room you loved or hated? What memory comes up first when you think about that house? If you haven't tried sketching the floor plan, give it a try. See what memories come back as you draw. Sketching the floor plan is a powerful way to reconnect with your earliest stories. Give it 10 minutes. You might be surprised what you remember. If today's episode brought back a memory, good, bad, funny, bittersweet, write it down. Your childhood home was more than just wood and drywall or plaster. It was your first world, and the stories it holds are still part of who you are. Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Memoir Club podcast. I'm Wayne Jordan. Thanks for spending this time with me. If today's story got you thinking about your own story, I hope you'll visit us at memoirclub.net. That's where you'll find the companion materials for this episode, including a writing prompt, a sample story, and a worksheet to help you dive a little deeper. And while you're there, take a second to sign up for the newsletter if you haven't already. And if you liked what you heard, I'd love for you to follow the show and maybe even tell a friend who's got their own stories to tell. Until next time, keep writing, keep remembering, and keep those stories rolling.